That is true. In this story, there was a poor crippled man. And you remember the story how one person took him to Jesus? You remember that story? No? Well, what happened? Talk to me. Four people took him to Jesus. Now, how many of you, has he ever preached in this text? Let me see your hands. You remember him preaching in this? All right. Did he ever tell you the names of those four guys? All right. I'm going to tell you something tonight then the preacher's never told you. I'm going to put names and faces on those four men. And if I could summarize what I want to tell you in a short sentence, it would be this. God always uses teams of people to bring other people to himself. Yeah. I think I know what the names of these four men were. You don't? Yes, I do. Well, tell me one of their names. Well, thanks for asking. Gentleman number one, introduce yourself. Wow, this is a good-looking group. My name is Mr. Vision. Mr. who?
Vision.
Mr. Vision. You see, Mr. Vision was definitely a part of that team. Mr. Vision was a man who had eyes. I'm going to give characteristics to these four guys. Yeah. Mr. Vision had eyes, and he used his eyes to see the needs of other people around him. Sometimes we use our eyes and we want to criticize the people around us. Right. Mr. Vision used his eyes to see the needs of people around him. Mr. Vision saw that poor man, that poor crippled man. Yes. And he thought, if someone, somehow, somewhere could only get him to Jesus, yep, what a difference it could make in his life. You see, Mr. Vision's always a part of any team that God uses to bring men and women and boys and girls to himself. Yes. Mr. Vision only sees two classes of people. Listen clearly to what I have to say. Mr. Vision divides all of humanity in two groups. First of all, he sees the first group, the fortunate few. We'll call them the reached. Those are the fortunate few who have had the opportunity to have someone maybe give them a Bible. Maybe they went to a gospel preaching church, but they've had someone sometime clearly explain to them how you can be saved by trusting and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hello? Are we aware of the fact that many people in the world aren't part of the fortunate few? And then Mr. Vision sees a second group. They're the unfortunate many who have never had that opportunity. Maybe they've never had a gospel preaching church. Maybe they've never had a Bible. Do you know if you would divide all of humanity, if you'd reduce the almost 6.5 billion people to 100 people, do you know how many people in that representative group of all of humanity, do you know how many of them would have a complete Bible in their language? Four people out of 100 would have the entire Bible in their language. That's a frightful thought, isn't it? Amen. Mr. Vision was definitely a part of that group. Thank God for Mr. and Mrs. Vision. But there was a second fellow in the group. Would you introduce yourself? I sure would. Boy, that's an ugly group. Just introduce yourself, please. My name is Mr. Compassion. You see, Mr. Vision had eyes and he used those eyes to see the needs of that poor crippled man. He thought if we could only somehow, somewhere, get him to Jesus, what a difference he could make in his life. Mr. Compassion had a heart. And he began to identify with those people, with that poor man. And he thought, how horrible would it be to be like him, to be crippled, to be an invalid, and to be no way to help yourself. And who knows, if he's never met Jesus, well, he'll be a cripple for all eternity. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's easy to look at people and criticize them, isn't it?
Yeah.
I came into the Miami airport about 2002. 2002, it was just before Hurricane Isidoro and before we started the church there. The doctors told me I had heart problems, so I came home to Charlotte for a heart catheterization. When we got to the airport in Miami, I saw him, guys. Gals, I saw him. I don't remember his age, but I know he was young. I don't know his name. I never did ask him. I never spoke to him. All I saw was his pink peaks. His what? His pink peaks. He had hair. Some peaks of hair that stood up this high over his head. And they were pink. And I looked at him and I thought, buddy, what planet did you get off of? And do you know what God said? Maybe it could be that he's still a part of the group. The unreached. The unfortunate many who have never had the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ as Savior. Yeah. Folks, we can criticize them all we want, but what they need is Jesus.
Amen.
I think sometimes as independent Baptists, we want to make them like us before they become like Him. We need to tell them about Him, and then He'll have the job of making them like He wants to make them. Are you with me today?
Amen. Yes, we are.
I went to our old church in Bible Baptist in Latrobe, and I want to tell you something. I'm proud of them. The preacher, two preachers followed me, one for 4 years. He passed away. Another guy was there for 9 years. He died. I thought to myself, thank God I got out of that place, man. That'll kill you. Got out of there in time, amen? The guy that was the assistant, he became pastor. He's only about 26 years old, pastor. That guy's got vision. He got a heart. We went into the State of the Prophets chamber a couple weeks ago. And they had a group of people in there. There were some black people in there. There was a guy with real long hair in there. There were all kinds of people. I said, what is this? It was meeting in the gymnasium. They said, this is the Reformers, unanimous. They work with people that have addictions. I was at the church, we were there Sunday evening and preached, and the guy that was there were four ushers, the second from the left, as I was facing the auditorium, all dressed up, looked spiffy. He's in that group. Several months ago, he had tremendous addiction. He was a hopeless alcoholic, but the church had enough compassion instead of criticizing people like that, instead of making fun of people like that, instead of thinking we're too good for people like that, realized, just like Mr. Vision, boy, you know, if we could only get that poor crippled guy to Jesus, who knows what a difference he could make in his life.
Yeah.
Mr. Compassion said, put it there, buddy. It must be terrible to feel like he feels. Could I say to you very kindly tonight, the world's a terrible place to live.
Yeah.
And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's a terrible way to live and to die. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Many people live and they're born and they live and they die and no one ever tells them about Christ, and we criticize them. We say, why do they do what they do? They do what they do because they've never met Him and don't know Him as their Savior.
Right. Amen.
There was a third guy in that group. Who was the first one? Mr. Vision. He had eyes and he saw that poor fellow. He said, we can only get him to Jesus. Who knows what a difference he can make? Who was that second guy? Mr. Compassion. He said, I could almost feel how that guy must feel. There was a third fellow on that team. Would you introduce yourself? He said, I agree with Mr. Vision and Mr. Compassion. That is one ugly, just introduce yourself, please. Yes, sir. He said, my name is Mr. Decision.
Yeah.
My nickname's Action, but my parents gave me the name Decision. You see, Mr. Decision saw what was happening. And he said, fellas, what you're saying, Vision, what you're saying's right. If we could only get him to Jesus, it'd make a difference. And Compassion, I agree with you. I mean, our heart goes out to a guy like this. Decision said, but talk is cheap. You know it is cheap.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we need to just step out by faith and get that poor crippled guy to Jesus. The sooner the better.
Yeah.
That's a good motto for the church, wouldn't
Amen.
It be? He said, you know, faith without works is dead being alone. He said, I like your heart compassion. Vision, I like the way you look at that fellow. He said, let's do it. He said, let's get together. Let's do it. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ needs men of vision that can see the needs and compassion that can feel and identify. And men and women of decision that decide, I'm going to step out and do something.
Yeah.
In 1990, at our own Faith Promise Missions Conference, I was burdened for many reasons, but one reason was nobody from our church had ever gone to the mission field. That seems hypocritical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we say we believe in missions, but nobody goes to the mission field. That'd be like saying we believe in prayer, but nobody prays. Or we believe in tithing, but nobody tithes.
Right.
Or we believe in reading the Bible, but nobody can find it.
Right.
We had a church that was kind of like that. And I told the Lord for many years I'd be willing to go to the mission field, but the time least likely to pull it off when we had 9 kids and 4 of them were teenagers. God called us to go to the mission field. And what I'm going to tell you now speaks well of that little lady right there.
Yes.
I told her, God just called us to go to the mission field today. And she said, are you sure? I'm thinking, man, if I ain't sure about this, our goose is cooked. You don't know the Greek. That means you're in bad shape. Your goose is cooked.
Amen.
I said, I'm as sure of that as I am that I'm saved. And she said, then that's what I want to do too.
Amen.
You know, all we were doing, it doesn't make us better than you. It doesn't make us better than anybody. All we were trying to do is say, if there's something that needs to be done, Lord, if you want to use us, we'll be willing to do it. We'll step out by faith and we'll do it. Someone said, and if it's in your songbook, you don't need to burn it, but in a lot of the good song books, there's a song, Hold the Fort. I like that song, but you know what? God didn't really call us to hold the fort. He called us to storm the gates of hell for the gospel of Jesus Christ, didn't he? Well, we had 3 guys in that team. Mr.
Vision
had eyes. He said, if we could only get that poor crippled guy to Jesus, who knows what a difference he could make? And Mr. Well, he said, I can almost feel, I identify with that guy. I mean, I almost feel what it'd be like to be like he is. And then there was Mr. You can just call him by his nickname, Action, if you want to. He said, if we're going to do it, let's do it. The pastor's saying, you know, he shows me that property. He expects me to get excited about that property. We bought a stinking tenth of an acre for $35,000. He shows me his property. I couldn't even see it all with my eyes. He said, isn't that exciting? I said, that's sick. S-I-K, sick. I'm feeling better. I asked the Lord to forgive me, but it was the beginning. I said, sick. S-I. I never was good in spelling. S-I-K, I think it is sick. You know what? I heard him say, boy, we'd like to, in the next year, we'd like to go out there. Well, you know, we bought a property too. Our first one fell through after we had faithfully listened for us to raise with our congregation. Now Jeff's tithes are in there. My tithes and sacrificial gifts are in there. With very little stateside help, we raised since 2002, $50,000.
Amen.
And we bought that property. We paid with cash. I wanted to give him a basketball check, but they wouldn't accept it. We have $15,000 to help us with permissions, and you always have to put a big high wall the whole way around it. And we're trusting. And in God's time, we'll be able to have our own place too. But you know, to get it done, you need more than vision, compassion, and decision. The fourth guy on that team was Mr. I'll go ahead. The rest of them introduced himself. Who are you? Boy, that group's just introduce yourself. My name is Mr. Determination. He said, Vision, I like what you're saying, but I see there's a little bit of indecision. What's the problem? They said, well, you know, I just went by that building. You know where Jesus was in the text. Where was he? He was in a house. He said, I went by. There's no room. There ain't no way to get into that blooming place. So what are you going to do? What do you think? He said, let me ask you a question. Does a house have a roof? He goes, what kind of stupid question is that? Does a house have a roof? Just answer my question. Does a house have a roof? Well, sure it has a roof. Well, did somebody put it on? Well, duh. Certainly somebody put it on. He said, well, somebody put it on. Someone can take it off. Let's get to it. And they went and they said, but what about the... Don't ask the cost question. Vision, you said if we can only get him to Jesus, it'd make a difference. And compassion, you said you can identify with him. And decision, you said action, you yourself said, let's go to it now. He said, whatever it costs, it's worth what it costs. Let's do it. And they let him, tore up the roof and let him down. Now, I'm going to date myself. If it had been Kmart, it would have been a blue light special that day. He tore the blooming roof off and let him down. And Jesus said, I got a special offer. 2-for-1 today.
Amen.
He forgave his sins and he healed him. And that man walked out of that place that day forgiven. And healed. Many years ago, a man from another country participated in the Olympics. Determination. And he came over and he was running and doing really well. And all of a sudden he stumbled and fell and he got boogered up. Boogered up in the Greek means he was bleeding profusely. And he had to stop. Obviously, they picked him up and they began to bandage his leg. And he said, well, there's no way you're going to go on. He said, I've got to go on. And he kept running. This is the way he was running. And when he got to the stadium 2 hours later, everybody had been there at least 2 hours before. The lights were out. Preacher, someone said to him, why in the world did you keep on running? He said, my country didn't send me here to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race.
Hallelujah.
Now, what's this all have to say about missions, about you, your church, and me, and our church? I end with this story. His name is Gabriel. We met him on Sunday afternoon visitation. The girls, my daughter and another Mexican girl, were visiting, and all of a sudden, they came back to the van. They were all excited. They said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. They said, a guy came by, and he said, I see you're handing out literature. Don't you have any for me? We were passing out John and Romans, an invitation to have an evangelistic Bible study. They said, sure we do. He said, what is this? They said, it's part of the Bible. He said, I love the Bible. And they said, he said, well, where did you get it? They said, well, my dad, Hermano Donaldo and Brother Enrique, they've got a church. He said, would they come to my house and talk to me about the Bible? He said, I'm sure they would. We went to his house the first time and he understood a lot, but he wasn't ready to get saved. And the third time we went, he received the Lord as Savior. That man knew more Bible than any Catholic man I've ever met to this day in my life. And we asked him, how'd you learn so much about the Bible? He knew about the Bible, but didn't know how to get saved till that day we were there and told him how. He told us this story. He said, I was a mechanic for the city garbage trucks. The city of Guadalajara then had between 6 and 10 million people. That's a lot of trucks.
Yeah.
And he said, one day I was working on the back part of the truck and I looked at it and I found something and I thought, could it be? He said, I took it out and I cleaned it off. And it said, Las Sagradas Escrituras, the Holy Scriptures. He said, I took it home and he said, I had never had a Bible in all my life. He said, and the more I read it, the more it bothered me. And he went back to his priest and he said, but you say this, but the Bible says. And he went back a couple times and the priest finally said, where have you been? Who's been brainwashing you? And he told him this. I don't agree with his adjectives. He said, Holy Father, I've only ever been to one church in all my life, the Holy Catholic Church. And the questions I'm asking you are questions because I've been reading the Bible. He didn't know how to get saved. Two girls went in visitation. Two fellows went back. Enrique led him to the Lord. Now I ask the question to close. Who won that man to Jesus? You go, the soul winner, Hermano Enrique. I like to deposit an idea. I believe that the fellows that went there, I went to first Bible study, Enrique went to second and third. I believe they had a part in that man coming to Jesus. Amen? I believe those girls that were out visiting that afternoon, though they didn't clearly explain to him the gospel, they were passing out the part of the Bible. I believe they had a part in it, preacher. I believe the man, the person, the family that threw that Bible away, and the man that put it in the garbage truck, and the people that printed it, and the people that paid the money to have it printed, I believe they all had a part. And Gabriel, come know the Lord as his Savior. Amen. Conclusion. What you're doing makes sense. You see, you've decided we can't go to all those places. So we'll get missionary. Isn't it amazing? All the missionaries you've chosen are good-looking, intelligent people. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing. Why, Carolyn, why are they looking at me like that? What's their trouble? No respect. You get no respect when you come back. They say a prophet's without honor except me. Oh, okay. And you know what the truth of the matter is? When you decide to link up with missionaries and link up with this church, do things here, there, and everywhere, one day there are going to be a lot of people in heaven because you understand the biblical principle. God always uses teams to bring men and women and boys and girls to himself. Thanks for being in our team. Thanks for letting us be a part of your team. I hope one day in heaven you'll really be excited when you see all those people, Americans, and all those foreigners, forgive me for saying, all those Mexicans that are up there. Remember this, you had a part. Let's stand for prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we thank you. This is not just a pep talk or way a missionary can tell the church something and squeeze more money out of them. Lord, it's the truth. It really is the truth. Now, you know we couldn't be there. We couldn't stay there if we didn't have churches supporting us with finances and prayers and friendship and encouragement. And neither could the other missionaries. Lord, we're thankful to see that you always use teams to bring other people to yourself. Lord, help us to be a vital part of that team here, there, and everywhere in bringing men and women to Jesus Christ. I pray in your name, amen. Pastor.